Lord God, take our lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I just want to underline one part of the gospel, though I'm not preaching on it today, that if during any part of this service you feel moved by the Holy Spirit to seek reconciliation with somebody, please note what Jesus says. Before you leave, leave your gift at the altar first. I think it is part of the human lot to find oneself often caught up in webs of deceit, some petty, some not so petty, or in a morass of half-truths and downright lies. When I was weighed on Friday at a doctor's appointment, I would have been more than happy to have heard some half-truths, some alternate facts about my weight. And I confess I was a little complicit in suggesting that my clothes were particularly heavy given the cold, cold weather. And I've been known to say at times I would never spoil a good story by too much of the truth. Our relationship, though, with the truth should be strongly tenacious, though at times it is merely tenuous. Why does this happen? Well, maybe because we are afraid, or maybe because we are ashamed, or maybe we persuade ourselves that the end justifies the means. But the more this happens, truth speaking is no longer our default setting. And so we become, to use Scott Peck's phrase, people of the lie. Maybe it all started in Eden. Let's blame them. In the never-ending episodes of Midsummer Murders, yesterday I heard DCI Tom Barnaby sharply remark to one of the probable criminals. He said this: try and overcome your natural instinct and tell the truth for once. It's not easy. But to this very human condition, Jesus speaks today in yet another passage from the Sermon on the Mount, verses 33 to 37 of chapter 5. He says, verse 33, do not say anything you do not mean. Reminds me of a phrase I've often heard in AA meetings: mean what you say, but don't be mean when you say it. Or verse 37, Jesus says, just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. It was said of William Gladstone by Benjamin Disraeli that, I quote, he was inebriated by the exuberance of his own verbosity. You know no preachers like that. I'm not sure. To such a quotation, Jesus says, speak plainly. And it was said of the pagans in Matthew 6, verse 7, that they thought that they would be heard by God by their many babbling over phrases. Jesus says, speak plainly. You see, friends, when we try our best to speak plainly, we are in the process of accepting responsibility and resisting evasion. When we commit ourselves to the process of speaking plainly, we adopt clarity and we resist, my word for the day, obfuscation. Accept responsibility and resist evasion. In today's gospel, Jesus argues that when we speak, we must speak responsibly. We must not erect a series of walls to defend us from adverse criticism. Jesus condemns the practice of manipulating God and manipulating the things of God in order to secure a desired goal or to win a desired contest. Listen to these words for the Message translation. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk. You do not make words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In their love affair with ambiguity, the Pharisees were always trying to shift the blame and avoid responsibility. But we're also called to adopt clarity and resist, word for the day, obfuscation. I like that word. It's a nice word to say. Why don't you say it with me? One, two, three. Obfuscation. Great. I don't want you to practice it, the doing it, but just the word. So you can imagine my delight when I discovered this quotation online. Quote, in software development, manual obfuscation is the deliberate act of creating obfuscating code that is difficult for humans to understand. I'm still puzzled who else is there to understand, but there we go. Like obfuscation in natural language, it uses needlessly roundabout expressions to compose statements. And in all of that obfuscation, the purpose is concealed. Jesus argues for plain speaking. And so by doing that, he condemns the manipulation of truth by the production of many words. And Moses in Deuteronomy and St. Paul in Corinthians exemplify this path and practice of plain speaking. Moses plainly and starkly states, Deuteronomy 30, 19, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. There's no room for people saying to him, can you just tell me what you really mean? It's clear. Choose life, that you and your children will live. No evasion, no obfuscation. And then likewise, Paul plainly, starkly states, I'm completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings. You're acting like infants. We are God's servants, you are God's field. No evasion. No obfuscation. In John 8:32, Jesus declares the truth will set you free. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the truth. Now, I realize that when Jesus is speaking of truth in those verses, he is referring to the great and weighty matters of salvation and liberation and redemption. And yet it cannot behoove a Christian or a church to say they follow Jesus, the one who is truth, and then to sit comfortably with half-truths and care little for lies. Whether it be in personal family living, at work, at school, at church, or in nation. It is part of our spiritual DNA to be truthful. And when we are not, because that happens, to repent of our untruthfulness. When we lose a commitment to cherish the truth, to seek the truth, to propound the truth, we are choosing curse rather than blessing. And death rather than life. And it occurs to me, brothers and sisters in Christ, that if any one of us today finds ourselves just a little bit challenged by some untruth that we have been perpetrating in our own lives, We can hear today, repent of that, and with God's strength, resolve to put it right. Let me tell you, it will only get worse unattended. That's what happens to lies. They take on life. And they are voracious in consuming those who have doubts about whether they should tell the truth or not. As a pastor, or do I say pastor? I'm never sure about that. I fear that anyone who spends too much time in the kingdom of untruth will ultimately find it difficult to be moved by the great truths of the gospel. I think something happens to us. The more we live in that realm of lies and half-lies and truths and half-truths, we no longer find it difficult to respond with immediacy to the great truths of the gospel, that we are loved, that we are accepted, that we are forgiven. And as a pastor, I believe that an intent for all of our life is a progress. There is no perfection, but we are called to be intentional about speaking plainly, which enables us then to receive fully God's plain speaking about us. St. John says in 1 John chapter 1, he says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. See, that is the kingdom of the lie. But, he says, if we confess our sins, the kingdom of the truth, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where would you rather be, says Moses, in the kingdom of truth or the kingdom of the lie? Choose. The commitment to plain speaking, empowered by the Spirit of truth, is no excuse for rude curtness or discourteous abruptness. But it is a commitment that will cause us to be more and more trusted as individuals and as churches. And it will enable us more to trust in the Lord. And without such a real commitment to plain speaking, may the Lord have mercy. Amen.